It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full-auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
All right. Welcome to the show, everyone. You know, there are certain areas that you just are not allowed to carry guns. And in each state, it's a little bit different. In a couple of states, they don't want you carrying guns anywhere. Take Illinois, for example. You can't even carry a gun. If you want to carry concealed, you can pretty much wipe out Wisconsin as well. They have open provisions, but not concealed provisions. One of the unique things in the state of Utah is on the state books, you cannot carry into Mormon churches, or LDS, Latter-day Saints. It's officially the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a.k.a. the Mormons. The state law, because the Mormons are so prevalent throughout Utah, they run the state. When I was a contractor for Department of Defense, I was stationed in the state of Utah, and I got the news out of Salt Lake City. And every news broadcast, every night, every channel, every time period that they had it, from early in the morning till 11 o'clock news, there was always at least one story dealing with the LDS Church. Nowhere else in America does that happen. And the LDS Church owns a lot of the media that's up there. Point being, in the state of Utah, you're not allowed to carry a gun in an LDS church. Just period. I think maybe the bishop could write you a letter to exonerate that or allow you to do it. I don't recall exactly what the whole deal is with that, but I know it's on the state books. Well, in South Jordan, just south of Salt Lake City, Salt Lake City has a large area, and there's a bunch of independent little cities in the Salt Lake Valley. The police fatally shot a guy who was armed with a shotgun outside the LDS Temple in South Jordan. It was the Oquirrh Mountains LDS Temple. Now, it's not just a church, it's the temple, it's the big one. And that happened on Christmas Day. Okay, let me read you a little bit of the story here. South Jordan Police Lieutenant Dan Starks said around 12:30 p.m., officers responded to a 911 call at the temple at 1102 South 400 West, where police found a white middle-aged man armed with a shotgun who'd been in a confrontation with at least one person a short time earlier. Police confronted the man and asked him to put down the gun and put his hands up in the air. Stark said the man failed to obey officers' commands and instead turned around and ran away with the gun still in his hand. Okay. Other officers and people were in the area at the time, and police said they were concerned for everyone's safety and not sure what the man might do. One officer fired a single shot, killing the man. Okay. He didn't bring the gun into the temple. He had it on temple property. Then he took and he ran away. The question is, had he done anything to cause the officer to fear for his or anybody else's life or for serious bodily injury from an imminent threat from this man? As in, if he got away, would he hurt, maim, or kill other people? If he got away. Now, I think this is a stretch on this case. Listen to this. After the shooting, officers inspected the man's vehicle and found guns, swords, and ammunition. Okay, not a good sign, but not illegal. No other people were inside the vehicle at the time of the shooting, and he appeared to be alone. Police are collecting evidence and notifying the man's next of kin before releasing his name. Given the holiday, Stark said, it's more difficult for everyone on multiple levels just because of Christmas Day. It's a tough day to deal with a tragic event for family members and for everybody. He said the temple grounds were closed and police were not letting people walk or drive through the area while they processed the crime scene. Blah, da, da. So, part of the routine procedure in this area for the officer who fired the shot to be put on paid administrative leave pending the outcome of the investigation. And, of course, they've done that. South Jordan Police and Salt Lake County District Attorney's Office are investigating the shooting. Police have made contact with LDS church officials and Temple Security, who are working with them hand-in-hand. They say, "We're aware that something happened, but it would be inappropriate at this time to comment," said LDS church spokesman Scott Trotter, citing the ongoing investigation. Okay, here's the deal. Question is, this guy gets shot by the cops. For what reason? He has the gun. They tell him to put it down. He turns and he runs away. That might be a good time to get a hold of the other cops on the radio, cut him off, encircle him, pull guns out, and start shouting commands. If after that something doesn't happen, then I could see firing a shot. But pull out your guns, hey, stop, put your hands up, and he runs away. Well, you know, I got to tell you, if someone is to be a victim of someone else and they just simply run away, well, what's wrong with that? It's like getting into a fight in school. Some kid wants to fight you, and you say, you know what, I don't want to fight, I run away. Okay. I don't know. The jury's kind of out on this one. It'll be interesting to see how the investigation goes. More importantly, because the LDS Church actually owns a lot of the media in Salt Lake City, it'll be interesting to find out how much reporting of this actually goes on, especially if the investigation starts to take a little bit of a downhill turn. That will be interesting. So I'm interested to find out about this. I find it very interesting that in the state law you can't carry in a, you know, state courthouse or, you know, the police department, whatever it is throughout the state. Now, I used to be a Utah concealed weapons instructor, and I instructed many concealed weapons classes. It's been a few years. I haven't bothered with it. I allowed my certification to lapse, probably 2.5 years ago now. It's just been a while. But the one law that I remember that was just so striking was, on the state books, you cannot carry into the LDS Church. Well, the LDS Church is a private organization. How did that end up on the books? That's like saying in the state of Ohio, you can't carry into the Salvation Army. Or in the state of Tennessee, you can't carry into a Walmart. How the LDS Church ended up on the books in that state just lets you know how heavily the Mormons still control the entire state of Utah. Virtually everybody in both legislative houses, every governor, city council, mayors, everybody. Salt Lake City itself has the lowest percentage of LDS members in the Salt Lake Valley, and that's community-wide, and that's at 50%. Otherwise, they hold a huge majority throughout the state. So anyhow, I just found that to be interesting. Enough said on this entire subject. We're going to move on. When we return from the break, we're going to talk about a Massachusetts police officer who was shot dead after responding to a call. So stay tuned. We'll get to that right after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
And welcome back from the break, everyone. Police work can be a dangerous job. I did the job. I was a cop on the streets of Las Vegas in the mid-90s, and I worked two of the four roughest areas of town, and I worked in both swing shift, and I have to tell you, there's a lot of work to do, and it can be dangerous. A lot of people getting shot at and shot back and forth when the bad guys really start getting in an uproar. The same thing happened essentially, with a cop putting his life on the line in Massachusetts. This happened the day after Christmas. Let me read this to you. Police officer responding to an attempted robbery call at a department store jewelry counter the day after Christmas, was shot dead in a gunfight, and a suspect was also killed. The shooting happened Sunday night at Kohl's store in Woburn, a city of about 40,000 residents just north of Boston, Massachusetts. The officer was shot while responding to a robbery in progress, police and prosecutors said. He was taken to a hospital in nearby Burlington, where he died. One suspect was shot dead by responding officers, according to Middlesex District Attorney Jerry Leone and Woburn Police Chief Philip Mahoney. Quote, this is a horribly tragic incident in which an officer was fatally shot in the line of duty. He said that his thoughts and prayers with the family. The officer, heavily armed police and troopers, being state troopers, used dogs to search the nearby stores and retail complexes for the other suspects in the attempted robbery, which happened around 9 p.m. near closing time. A second suspect later was arrested by a state trooper, and it's under investigation whether or not there was a third suspect. So far, the identities of these two have yet to be determined or released. So, with all of this being said, the day after Christmas, a cop responds to a robbery in progress call. And with robbery in progress, that's when cops' hearts start pumping. That's when the adrenaline starts flowing. That's when you realize all of the slow times over the last few days, few weeks, few months, this is what you're there for. This is what you want to do. So you respond to a robbery in progress, which is a hot call. And this cop ends up being killed the day after Christmas. Very unfortunate. One of the suspects is dead. I doubt that the suspects, when they perpetrated this crime, when they were planning it out, had any thought whatsoever that anybody would die. It was probably going to be a smooth, okay, this is our plan. You don't plan on anybody getting shot or dying. Otherwise, you change your plans. You just do. You know, I had an experience in the grocery store just a couple days ago. I think it was just Tuesday evening. I walked into the grocery store, and there's a lady that works at the grocery store I go to who's from New York, and she's a nice lady. She's a real kick in the pants, real fireball. And I generally try to find the line where she's the checker when I go, just so we can joke around a little bit while I'm checking out. Well, she was working the self-servicer. You know, they have like, four different self-service checkouts for people with not very many items. And then, one person that watches. So I go there. I'm carrying my 1911, which I do on a regular basis. And it's exposed this particular day. And I go in there and I buy my stuff and I go to get my little, stickers that you get for blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, she says, why you got to be wearing a gun when you're walking here? Why are you carrying a gun today? And I told her, I said, I'm carrying a gun just about every time you see me. You just probably don't notice it all the time. And she said, well, why? So I pointed over to the door, which is 100 feet away. And some random guy just walked in. I said, you see that guy? She said, yeah. I said, in about 2 seconds, he's going to start shooting up the store. What are you going to do? Are you going to stop him? Is this guy going to stop him? Is that guy? And I just started pointing to other people. Who's going to stop him? And she says, well, I guess you are, because you're the one with the gun. I said, that's right. And when we finish this conversation and I walk out the door on the opposite side of the store, who's going to stop him then? She says, well, probably nobody. I said, that's why I'm carrying a gun. Any other questions? At which point in time, she tells me that last year, she had a home invasion attempt. She's at home. Somebody tries to get into the front door, and she had the alarm on, which most people, when they're in their homes, don't tend to set the alarms, but can be a good thing. In her case, it was, because whoever was trying to get into the house tripped the alarm. She immediately calls 911. And she says the first question that she was asked when she called it, look, my alarm's going off. Somebody's trying to break into my house with a home invasion. The 911 operator asks, are there any guns in the house? Legitimate question. To which she says, no, of course not. And then the 911 operator finishes the call. The cops show up. Whoever tried to break in is gone. And they told her, you really should have a gun. And she says, I don't know why they would ask if I have a gun here, and then they tell me I should have a gun. I said, you got to realize, Murray, that when the cops are going to arrive at a call, and there might be a gun, they're going to want to know. If the 911 operator didn't ask, and then they find out somebody's got a gun, the cop's going to be a little bit ticked off that he didn't know, and probably be ticked off the 911 operator. Therefore, it is commonplace for the 911 operators to ask if there's a gun, just so the cops know what they're dealing with before they get there. They can learn all about this on their way through radio traffic. So, then the cops say, you should really get a gun. I couldn't agree more. Guys, when you have people who are anti-gun, the reason that they are anti-gun are because of the criminals in our society that use guns for offensive purposes and to perpetrate crime behind that gun. The losers of society with those guns, if you will. That's why people are anti-gun, because they don't like when people have a gun for offensive criminal purposes. If people were more like me and more like a lot of you, they'd carry a gun purely for defensive purposes. And you explain to them, someone asks, why are you carrying a gun? Some people say, well, because a cop's too heavy. I've even said that before. The truth of the matter is, even if I could carry a cop or he could carry himself, I wouldn't trust him with the tactics that I know. Some of you might, because maybe the cop has more training than you. Oftentimes, cops don't have nearly as much training as the vast majority of American people believe. They just don't. Not if they're regular old patrol cops or detectives. They just don't have that level of training that people expect they would or should. That being said, when you explain to someone who asks, why is it you're carrying a gun? Well, the next person that walks in here and starts shooting this place up, who's going to stop them? Is it picking up your cell phone and dialing 911? Is that going to stop them? No. The reason to call the cops is for the cops to come and take the report later. I actually explained that to this lady at the grocery store. I said, I don't call the cops unless they need to report on something that happened. You know, my girlfriend said something that if she had, something stolen at work, she would call the cops. And my response was, why don't you handle it inside internally with the store? I mean, you don't work with that many people. I would deal with it there. If a police report needed to be taken later, then fine. But the cops aren't going to come find something that was stolen. Somebody steals an iPod out of your purse or something. The cops aren't going to come find that. They're going to come take a report. You know, you don't call the cops to solve your problems, in my book. You call the cops to take the report after a problem has come up and you've solved it. That's just the way I look at it. My 2 cents worth of this. Anyhow, when we come back after the upcoming break, I'm going to talk about a public shooting area, not a range, but a public shooting area that I went to with a couple of other guys it's just this past weekend, and my experience with that. You'll be interested to hear this, and I'm sure many of you have probably had the same experience. Anyhow, stay tuned. There's more to come. After the break, I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in right here to 2A Radio.
RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. Now, I went out with a couple buddies of mine to do a little bit of shooting. I think it was the day after Christmas. I think it was Sunday. There's a spot where we normally go to shoot, but the ingress into the air, it's a wonderful place to shoot, but getting in there and getting out, if there's been any amount of rain, it can be sloppy and muddy. Well, we had six straight days of rain, and we only had a couple, two, maybe 3 days worth of it trying to dry out in cooler temperatures, a lot of cloud cover. It was not the place to go. It was too muddy. So we went to another place where some local folks tend to go. It's about 3 miles off of the highway, up a gravel road, which is easily negotiable. And you get up there, and there's a safe backstop. But it is the same tired old crap of a range that I have gotten so sick of even seeing that I didn't stick around for more than about 20 minutes. I don't even know if I was there for 20 minutes. What you had was typical stuff. We had three or four propane cans that have been shot to hell. We had several signs that are pointing towards model homes that you could go see. You know, these small, they call them bootleg signs or whatever. They're, you know, maybe 18-inch circles or 16-inch circles, something like that, on the signs that people have jacked and put up against a hillside to use that as targets. A whole bunch of different old computers or computer monitors or old computer printers, a couple of old television sets, countless aluminum cans, all kinds of broken glass. You know the deal. And I have to tell you that this sort of thing is exactly what the anti-gun people and the environmentalists see the entire shooting, gun-owning class of America as. We are represented by that sort of a dump of a shooting area mess. And quite honestly, they're pretty close to being on par with that. When I go shooting, again, there's kind of a, I don't know, we'll call it a private range, but it's really, it's a hidden little range that I shoot at with a couple different buddies of mine, one in particular. It's kind of like our range of sorts. Anybody can go there, but the beauty of it is nobody knows about it. Nobody. So we go there. It's a beautiful area. Very safe to shoot. We can shoot into berms. The berms are nice and high. They're sculpted. They're private. We can get as many as probably about 800 yards if we wanted to go long-range shooting out of this. Heck, we might even be able to squeeze 1,000 yards if some of the vegetation wasn't there. And we're just talking ground root up, you know, sagebrush that's growing, tumbleweed someday down the road after it dries out and blows away. That sort of just generic garbage plant life that's in there. Anyhow, right now, today, we can go out there and get 800 yards. Whenever we're done shooting, we pick everything up. I actually take these 5-gallon orange buckets that I get at Home Depot, and I take those to be able to put old shell casings or the shotgun holes, whatever we have. Shotgun holes are easy to pick up. One of the guys I go with all the time, where it's kind of our little range, he's started doing mass reloading. I do individual reloading and hand loading. Anything that I shoot out of a gun that I reload for, any of my rifles that I reload for, I'll keep that brass myself. Any of the other stuff that ends up down there, the .223 or the .40 Smith & Wesson or the .45 ACP, whatever we're shooting, my other buddy picks up. We don't leave any traces. We don't leave any mess. We don't take garbage out there to shoot. We take target stands. We take targets. We shoot at the targets. We take everything down. We take it with us. What is so difficult about that? And on the other hand, what is so difficult about throwing trash away rather than using it to shoot at? Now, I understand that people like to have some sort of a reactive target. Let me give you a wonderful reactive target that you can shoot at a bunch of times. And it's fully natural. Grab yourself a 1-gallon plastic jug, like something you might buy a gallon of milk or a gallon of orange juice in. When you're done drinking whatever contents came in that, fill it up with water and freeze it. After it's frozen, either the plastic container itself has burst and you can easily peel it off of the ice, or take a knife and slit it all the way around to the circumference and take the plastic off. You can have that icy 1 gallon chunk in a cooler. Take that up to the range and shoot it. And you can shoot the living hell out of it. I have done this with 5 gallon containers before, and it works wonderful. You can shoot at a what was a 5 gallon jug of water, now a 5 gallon jug of ice, just the block of ice. You can get 150 rounds off at all the different pieces of ice. And when you're done, all you have to clean up is brass. And what does it take to freeze a gallon jug or a few gallon jugs? You only got to plan one day in advance. Fill the stuff up the night before, put it in there. Heck, you might be able to find a way to reuse these gallon jugs so that you can shoot more often. If you can, more power to you. Go for it. My point being, for those of you who go out and shoot up a myriad of trash and junk, and maybe even scrounge for stuff so you can shoot at it, and then leave it out in the back 40, wherever it is that you're shooting, you make people like me and other people that listen to this show who don't do those things look like you and look bad for doing it. You're setting a poor, poor example. That's the reason why environmentalists hate shooters. The reason anti-gunners hate shooters, as we talked before in the earlier segment, is because of the offensive nature in which guns can be used and are used by the criminal element. They lump all of us into that sack. Because what is the one common denominator? It's the gun. It has nothing to do with the mindset. That's like accusing me and holding me in the same light as a drunk driver. Because we share in common that we drive vehicles. So that all of us are lumped into the idea of being some trashy, messy, three-tooth, yokelin, moonshine-drinking bubba out there in the back 40, shooting up the wilderness and leaving all kinds of trash in our wake. That's not the way to do things. Absolutely not. And if you do that, here's the interesting thing. You know that's not the right thing to do. You know that's not the right way to do it. The other thing that stinks, people who would commonly not leave a mess, if they go to a place that is so messy, they just decide, you know what, I'm just going to leave my mess here too, because it's not like it's really going to make anything worse. Okay, that's a bad attitude. You know, the Boy Scouts go by a rule. They say, leave it in better condition than you found it. Well, as it turns out, when I was a lad, I was a Boy Scout. So I learned that. I learned, leave it better than you found it. I use that same thing if I ever happen to borrow anything from anyone. See, I borrow a tool, or I borrow my buddy's boat, or whatever it might be. I borrow another buddy or family member's RV for a long weekend, whatever it might be. I'm always certain to return whatever I borrow back to that person in better condition than I found it. I borrowed a buddy of mine's rifle one time. When he got it back, I had actually resprung it. It was an AR-15. I cleaned and resprung his AR-15, all new springs. And then I gave it back to him after it had been cleaned and lubed and, you know, just absolutely babied. So do that with your shooting ranges, please. A little bit of cleanup each time you go should help send the message. Heck, post a sign that says clean up after yourself and take a little more with you. Keep it good for everyone. Folks, stay tuned. There's more to come after the break. We'll be right back.
If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now, Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
Welcome back from the break. Now, last year, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed a law, Assembly Bill 962, making it a crime to deliver handgun ammunition if the transaction is not done face-to-face, and if the driver, we're talking like a UPS, FedEx, DHL, some sort of a delivery driver, fails to determine through government identification whether or not the recipient of the ammo is legally authorized to receive the ammo. Now, of course, what is this? It's just a backdoor effort by the anti-gun lobby to stop private ownership of guns. Now, in the immortal words of Rooster Cogburn, he says, a gun that's unloaded and cocked ain't good for nothing. This law is scheduled to go into effect in February, just in a month and a half. Less than that, I think February 11th, I think. So about 6 or 7 weeks. This law also criminalizes much of the commercial shipping of handgun ammunition in the state of California. Drivers for delivery firms, again, such as UPS, FedEx, DHL, what have you, etc., would have to become basically the police by determining what's being shipped and whether the person who's receiving it is qualified to receive it. Now, Second Amendment advocates, including the NRA and the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association, are now vowing to fight this statute in court. They also contend that the law violates the Federal Aviation Administration Authorization Act, which prohibits states from interfering with common carriers, saying, we cannot allow California to subject our members to criminal liability where the state has no right to meddle. And they're absolutely right. The fear, really, what happened here is the state of California is, in effect, with trying to ban shipment of ammunition to private parties, like you and I, if we lived in California, they're trying to make that intrastate commerce, when in fact it's interstate commerce, and the federal government does have the constitutional authority to regulate that, not the state. The intrastate commerce of a state cannot regulate interstate commerce that the feds are there to control. The real fear is that the law could set precedent that would influence anti-gun local governments nationwide to set up just a nightmare, absolute nightmare bureaucracy. The more red tape that they create, the more that they would discourage people from becoming involved in the shooting sports. Finally, it's all about stopping internet sales of ammunition as well. If you control the ammunition, you control the gun. Now, it's like if you wanted to control interstate vehicle traffic. You don't have to control the actual vehicles themselves. You control the fuel. The fuel that actually goes into them. Now, AB 962 is a total piece of garbage. What it's telling you is there's certain handgun ammunition that people in the state of California can only buy 50 rounds per month from an authorized dealer that keeps it locked up, away from the hands of the consumers, and when the consumer does buy it, the retailer must do fingerprints and copy down identification and fill out a form to actually sell the ammunition. then all of this paperwork is allowed to be viewed by the local cops. The local cops can go in there and make sure everything's in there. We're talking about the state of California, which is $80 billion, with a B, billion dollars in the hole at last count, if memory serves correct. $80 billion operating in the red. Yet they create this law, which is going to limit sales. Therefore, it's going to limit taxable sales and taxes, sales taxes that are generated by the state. And on top of that, it's going to cost them all kinds of money to try to, quote-unquote, police this and actually see what's happening with the guns. They're going to give up millions, tens of millions of dollars in sales tax revenue having this law in the books. Plus, it's going to cost them extra money to try to watch over it and implement to see that it has some sort of useful purpose. Now, of course, the outgoing governor, Rhino, Republican in name only, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he signed it because the chiefs of police and the other anti-gun crowds, and I say other because the Police and Sheriff's Association in California is totally anti-gun and total pro-control for themselves. They went to Schwarzenegger and said something along the lines of, well, we should be able to trace who's getting ammunition, and somehow or another, we're going to be able to solve crimes by this manner. You got to be kidding me. Absolutely kidding me. 50 rounds a month. That means, and that's period. It's not like you can go to retailer A and buy 50 rounds this week. Next week, go to retailer B and buy 50 more rounds. Then go to retailer C and buy 50 more. If you do that, anywhere in the state, you buy something down south in San Diego. 4 days later, you're up in the northern part of the state in Sacramento. You buy another 50 rounds. All of this will eventually end up in the state computer system. You'll be flagged for breaking the law. And you will be prosecuted. This means, and also since you cannot ship ammunition in, you can't call up or go online and order something from, you know, Cheaper Than Dirt or Ammo Man or anybody else, Notches, whoever sells ammunition, you won't be able to call them and have it shipped to you, because if you're found out to have done that, they'll arrest you for that too. Which means the very best that you can do, the very best in the state of California, is to be able to buy 600 rounds per year. Slightly over, it's 100 rounds over half a case. I buy my ammunition by the case. That's the way I buy it. I buy it by the 1,000-round case. You won't be able to do that. You won't be able to buy it more than 50 rounds at a time. And you can't buy it more than 50 rounds per 30 days. Now, I'll tell you, as a recognized expert in the field of firearms training, you cannot gain skill with mere 600 rounds. And I'll tell you this. If you already have the skill to use the guns, 600 rounds a year is not enough to maintain. You will lose your edge. As much as I profess and other professional firearms trainers profess that dry practice is the key, dry practice is what you need in order to really improve. Live fire is what you do to ensure that the dry practice has worked. Live fire of merely 50 rounds per month to ensure that the dry practice you're doing is not enough. Double that, and you're scratching the surface. You might be able to maintain. You might actually even be able to get a little bit better if you had 100 rounds a month. You might actually be able to improve your skill a little bit. 50 rounds a month, there's really no way to do it. And, of course, there was no one arguing this point in front of the state legislature of California when it was passed, or in front of Arnold Schwarzenegger when it was sitting on his desk to be signed. Nobody argued these points. Even if they had, do you really think that Schwarzenegger would have listened? Do you think he would have said, oh yes, I see, I can see that only 50 rounds a month is not enough. Sorry, I don't do a very good Austrian accent. Nobody would bother. Why? They would say, the police chiefs and sheriffs would say, just call the cops. You don't need to have guns. Just call the cops. Right. At the moment, some 340-pound, 6'7" sex offender is breaking through my window. Doesn't care if I'm a man or a woman. And he's breaking in to do what he wants to do. Calling 911. They're under no legal obligation to have to respond to me or anyone else. You, me, anybody. Even if they do respond, what are they going to do? Look at the mess which is left and take a report? Remember the story about the lady at the grocery store from earlier in the show? I asked her. She didn't have a gun. Let's say the guy actually did break in, didn't care that the cops were coming. She was beaten, raped, murdered, any or all of the above. When the cops got there, they couldn't erase any of that. All they could do is collect evidence and write a report, and hopefully actually effect an arrest on it. This AB 962 in California needs to be, should be, and without a doubt ought to be, completely repealed, because it infringes on your right to keep and bear arms as guaranteed by the Constitution and reinforced by the Supreme Court.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com.